Last weekend we had a glorious Good Friday service, if you were here, and we had a very joyous Easter resurrection service. And I want to stay this morning, especially for those who weren't here this weekend, but for some other reasons also, I want to stay on the theme of the resurrection. And I want to take a little more time to talk about the resurrection and all of its implications. I mean, even our name, the rising, represents the resurrection. It represents a resurrection. It represents a rising in every area of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
The resurrection, church, is not some type of optional part of our message that gave birth to the church. Without the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church does not get born at all. So everything in our faith hinges on the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your preaching is useless, and so is your faith. I'd just be speaking dead words. It's useless. In other words, there would be no body of Christ without the resurrection. He says, if Christ has not been raised from the grave, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So without the resurrection, we're still lost. Do you realize, church, that we come to salvation through believing in the resurrection? Romans 10, chapter 9 says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. The resurrection. Amen. The resurrection. The resurrection is about going from death to life. And we're going to continue talking this morning about the resurrection with a message entitled, Our Defense Against Death. Our defense against death. And I want to show you this morning a revelation about the whole story of the resurrection. And this revelation almost feels like actual proof of the credibility of the resurrection. And I want to do that this morning. I was prompted to do that after watching a television show about the resurrection where some were arguing on the documentary, the show, that the disciples, some were arguing that the disciples stole the body of Jesus and made up the whole story about the resurrection. And it's called the stolen body theory. And as I was watching this, I began to think, okay, well, one of the difficulties with this theory for me was trying to figure out why they would steal the body. It seems that for them to fake a resurrection and steal the body was kind of just foolish because, listen, they weren't even looking for a death or resurrection. They weren't even looking for that. Despite what Jesus told them, they still were not expecting this. They were not expecting a death and resurrection. When Jesus came, no one was looking for that. They were looking for victory over their enemies. They were looking for the overthrow of the Roman Empire. And they were looking at the coming in of a new kingdom. And because of that, just thinking about that for me, it was difficult to imagine them making up the story of the resurrection. There's another reason, though, why that would be hard to believe. There's another difficulty with that stolen body theory, and that's the identity of the witnesses to the empty tomb. Now watch. The witnesses to the empty tomb were women. And a consistent, it's consistently reported in all four Gospels that women were the witnesses of the empty tomb. That's consistent in the Gospels. And they were the first to discover that the tomb was empty. And they were the first to be told that Jesus was risen. Women. Now, what's so remarkable about that, church? In that day, in the ancient times, women were not considered credible witnesses. Women were not even allowed to testify in Jewish courts of law. And this was so extreme in that time. And I'll give you an example. If I killed someone, and 100 women witnessed the murder and no men, I would get off scot-free. Isn't that something? That's how extreme it was in ancient times. If I killed someone and 100 women saw it, but no men watched it, no men saw it, you went free. Because women were not considered credible witnesses, and they weren't even allowed to testify. So the last thing in the world that the disciples would want to make up is that women were the witnesses. Because they would know if they made that up, that automatically there would be no credibility to that story at all. Amen?
Amen.
So, the stolen body theory has some holes in it. Just watching it, I could put those two holes in it. But let's look at Matthew chapter 28 this morning, and we're going to discover really how God really did this. So there won't be any doubt that Jesus has resurrected. Amen? Matthew 28, verse 1. Now here, just right here, we find Jesus in a grave, in a tomb. And verse 1 says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Can you picture that? His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. That must have been a sight to behold, church, if you think about that. Now watch verse 4. Watch verse 4. It says, the guards, plural, the guards. Now, let me tell you something about this group. And I've talked about this particular passage in past messages. But the guards, now remember, when Jesus was crucified, the Sanhedrin Council sends a message to the Roman government and said, look, this liar Jesus told us that he would rise on the third day. So just to make sure nobody tampers with the tomb and make sure nobody tries to pull a hoax, I want you to seal it and I want you to put a Roman guard there. Now I want you to understand that a Roman guard could be between 100 and 600 men. Now I want you to follow this. A Roman guard was not one person or two people standing there with a spear like you see in the movies. That's not what a Roman guard was. Look at the word again. It says the guards, plural. The Roman guard was 100 to 600 men. So here we have at least, church, at least 100 or more men standing around the hills where Jesus' tomb was. Of some of them standing in front of the stone. 100 men or more with spears and swords and shields guarding one dead man. Look at verse 2 again. It says, there was a violent earthquake, For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now it says in verse 2, the angel came. Now it took 100 men or more to guard the tomb and probably roll the stone in front of the tomb, but it took one angel. You get that? One angel to come in amongst these men that are standing there, shake the earth, move the stone, and out walks Jesus. Out walks Yeshua. Now, I want to surprise you with something here. Can I surprise you this morning? All right, here's my surprise. We have been taught that all our lives, we've been taught that the first person to see the resurrected Lord was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And church, it's not true. Because listen, God is too smart to allow anyone who knew him personally to see the resurrection first. Now, let me tell you why. Because it would have been a lack of credibility. So God made sure, watch this. God made sure that the first persons to witness the resurrections were pagans who had no interest in Jesus and would not tell a lie. He wanted the evidence to be without question. So the first one to see the resurrection were the pagan soldiers. Can I prove it to you? Can I prove it to you? Look at verse 5. Let's read. Let me read this whole thing again and read to verse 10. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. You'd be scared too. You'd be scared too that the dead man that you killed 3 days ago came walking out of a tomb, and the angel wouldn't let you touch him, and you just freeze. Okay. You wouldn't have froze, but I would have. The angel, now it goes back to the women, because the women came. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There will they see me." Now look at verse 11. Look at verse 11, because the story shifts here. Look at verse 11. While the women were on their way, okay, the story, like a good movie, the story is shifting here back to the guard scene, the scene of the guards. And watch what it says. Watch what it says. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. Some of the guards, I told you it was a big group. Some of the guards. Now, church, I want you to understand this, that under Roman law, when you were guarding a prisoner, two things immediately went into effect. You never lose your prisoner. Okay? That immediately, as soon as you're put on a guard, the law goes into effect for you that you never lose your prisoner. As a Roman guard, if you lost your prisoner, you lost your life. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you never leave your post. That's why only some of them went. Because you can't leave your post. So two laws of the Roman army that you don't disobey is you never leave your post and you never lose your prisoner, because if you lose your prisoner, you will be killed. So these guards, 100 of them or more, they know that all of them, again, they can't go. Some of them have got to stay here. So it says some of them went into the city, but I want you to notice, who did they go to report what they saw? Who did they go to? Come on, say it. The chief priest. They went to the chief priest. Now I'm going to surprise you again. Church, the first preachers of the resurrection were the guards. Were the guards. Oh, God is smart. You see, if the Sanhedrin council and the chief priest had been told that he resurrected by women, had they been told by women, they would have said, they're not credible witnesses. And you were followers of Jesus anyway. You're just saying that. If they'd been told by the disciples, they would have said the same thing. You guys are just making this up. You're followers of his. You lie. But now, church, the resurrection is being preached to them by Roman, pagan, military minds, listen, that were trained to tell the truth. They couldn't lie. They were trained in their training to tell the truth. Now watch. Why did they go to the chief priest? Why did they go to the chief priest? Because what they saw, they couldn't explain. They couldn't explain. The dead man that was killed 3 days ago is walking around. I mean, how in the world do you go back to your boss, the Roman centurion, and you tell him, well, I lost my prisoner, but he was a dead prisoner. How do you tell your boss that? A dead man that I lost my prisoner. So they thought this was a phenomenon that we just can't explain. So let's go to a spiritual group to get some explanation before we go to our boss. And let me tell you something, church. I'm going to tell you something. Watch out what spiritual groups or spiritual people you go to for explanations. Understand? Watch out. So here's it. They went to the chief priest, right? The spiritual group. So they could explain to them, explain to the chief priest what they saw. I mean, we saw the guy killed 3 days ago, and then he walked right by us. Explain this to me, oh great spiritual leaders. Now watch the response. Look at verse 12. Watch the response. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers what? A large sum of, they did what, church? Wait a minute. They gave the soldiers what? What kind of money? Large sum of money. They gave them a lot of money. Now look at verse 13. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." They covered all their bases, didn't they? They covered all their bases. Listen, these guards, they saw the resurrection. They saw the truth. They saw the greatest miracle in history. They saw the testimony of overcoming death. They saw God in the flesh, raised from the dead in a miraculous body. They saw the truth, but they were paid a large sum of money to tell a lie. And I'm going to tell you, people today are still financing the lie with large sums of money and suppressing the truth of the resurrection. Why do people go to such lengths to suppress the truth? What is so powerful about the resurrection? That large sums of money would be paid to suppress the truth. The chief priests knew that the Roman guard wouldn't lie. They knew that. And they had called Jesus sinner, Beelzebub, blasphemer. And they knew that the resurrection of Jesus would have been proof that he had never sinned and that he lived a sinless life and that the sins that he carried were not his own. So they paid large sums of money to cover it up. What is it about the resurrection that made the chief priests so scared? Look at John chapter 11. Are you guys with me? Have you ever seen that in that story? What we just talked about. Have you ever seen it? John 11, look what this says. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. So wait a minute. I'm going to live even though I die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says, I'm not going to resurrect. I am the resurrection. He says, I am the life. He doesn't say, I have life. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me and what I've done for you, you will live also. Verse 27, she says, well, yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world. In other words, I believe you're Christ, yes. I believe in God, yes. But there's something, church, that she missed here. She missed something here. Jesus says, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Even though you die in the flesh, he's saying, you are still going to live. You will never die. Jesus, what she missed was Jesus had a defense against death. Jesus' defense against death was a simple defense. And guess what? It's your defense too. Why, church, why did death have no power over Jesus? Listen, it is not because he was God. Ooh, before you call me a heretic. We think because he's God, he rose from the dead. And I'm going to show you right now that the resurrection of Jesus was based on qualification. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Stay with me. By the time I get done, I won't be a heretic. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 and 57. I want you to read this aloud with me. You ready? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the sting of death? Say it. The sting of death is sin. Watch. That means that death can't sting you unless it has sin to give it power to sting you. You see it? Come on, say it again. The sting of death is sin. That means death can't sting you unless it has sin to give it the power to sting you. Death was on the earth for 33 years walking around Jesus, snarling and angry and bitter. I want to kill you, Jesus. Death is a bee without a sting around a man with no sin. Can I say that again? Death is a bee without a sting around a man with no sin. Who has no sin? Death existed all around Jesus. Listen to me. That's why when they picked up the stones, everybody got these big rocks, and Jesus is standing there, and the Bible says that they're about to stone him. Did Jesus panic? Did he run? I would have ran, at least. I would have found a little hole in the circle somewhere to scoot out. Stay in the middle. Are they going to stone me? I'm going somewhere. All around Jesus was capital punishment. And he said, and the Bible says he walked right through the crowd. Why, church? Because the stones were not the issue. Death told those guys with the stones, put them down. Death said, he ain't qualified to kill. I'm not qualified to kill that one. Put the stones down. I ain't got no power over him because he has no sin. You get it? The sting of death is what? The power of death is sin. So a man without sin, death cannot touch. So now you understand why Jesus said, no man can take my life. No matter how they shoot their arrows or throw their rocks, no man can take my life. When Jesus was on the boat with the disciples, and the boat started sinking, what was Jesus doing? Sleeping. Why? He can't die. Why? Why can't he die? There was no sin in him. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Come on, stay with me. Are you getting it so far? Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go further. I want you to read this aloud with me. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You ready? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Say that first line again. God made him who had no sin. Stop. Let's not read too fast. What's the power of death, church? Sin. Right? What gives power to death? Sin. What makes death kill you? Sin. So if you don't got no sin, right? Death can't kill you. Betty will never die because she don't got no sin. I think. I don't live with her, so I don't know. But follow me. Jesus didn't have any sin, church, so he was deathless. He was mortal, which means flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was mortal, which means flesh, but he was immortal, watch, which means deathless flesh. Now listen. The only way to kill an immortal man is you have to have sin in him to activate death. Come on, read it, read it. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin. He had no sin. He couldn't die. The sting of death is sin. The power of death is sin. He couldn't die. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. God says, okay, okay. John, give me your sin. Carol, give me your sin. Damon, give me your sin. Elba, give me your sin. Give me your sin. Give me your sin. Brenda, give me your sin. Give me your sin, because this man has to die and he ain't got none. He ain't got none. So I got to collect some. He can't die because he has got no sin. He ain't never had none. So what I got to do, I need some. I need some. Because in order to take care of you, I have to kill myself. And I can't kill myself because I ain't qualified to die. So give me all your sin so I can be qualified to die. Give me your sin. Give me your sin. That's the only way I can die. He took your sin to kill himself. Listen. He collected all your sin and put it on Jesus, so that in Jesus, in him, you might be repositioned again like Adam and made righteous. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You get the picture? Guess what? That ain't even the sweet part. That ain't even the real good part. The sweet part is this, that after God put the sin on Jesus, death got excited. The devil had a party, church. The devil said, I can now kill God legally. Listen, don't miss this, because the devil is stupid. I really, going over this, I figured out how stupid he is. Now, and I know you're listening, devil, so take notes. Because here it is. Here's where you messed up. The devil got outsmarted. See, you can only kill a man if the sin he carries is his. See, so the devil figured, okay, death, get him. Get him. Why? Because the power that activates death is on him. Sin. Kill him. So death says, I got you now. I got you now. The devil said, I got you. And he enjoyed death. Killing a man who was carrying sins that were not his. So listen. Whoever sin he was carrying, that's who death killed. You. Whoever sin he was carrying, that's who death killed. Now, once you kill a man, you can't kill him again. So the devil lost twice. He lost us and he lost Jesus. Watch this. So he kills the body of Jesus because we qualified him to die. Our sin, the sin that he took for us, qualified him to die. He kills the body of Jesus, that we qualified that body to die. So now the price of sin, which is death, the wages of sin is death. The price of sin is paid. So death says, I've come to collect wages from everybody. If you've sinned, I'm supposed to kill you. So the wages you pay for sin is death. And Jesus, on Good Friday, on that day, he paid my wages and he paid your wages. The wages of sin is death. He died. He paid my wages. He paid your wages. That ain't even the best part. I mean, It just gets better. He paid the debt. That means death has no power over me or you. This is why he can say in John, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's why when you're absent from the body, where are you? You're present with the Lord. You don't die. You ought to shout just over that. You don't. Death made another mistake. The body of Jesus that was killed by our sin. You get that? The body of Jesus that was killed by us, built by our sin. Who killed Jesus? All of us. Thank you. God laid on him our iniquities. Jesus was killed with what was killing us. Are you getting this? Watch this. But the devil missed because he killed what was killing us, because there was nothing killing Jesus. Come on, you get that? Jesus' body lay in the tomb. So Christ's spirit leaves the body because you can't kill a spirit. And what does Christ's spirit do? He goes down to Sheol and Hades and Gehenna, and he walks right into the dungeon of darkness. He walks right into the dark abyss of satanic power, and all the demons start shouting, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" They said, "You ain't supposed to be here. Only people who die in sin can come here." Jesus says, "I qualify. I qualify. I got a body upstairs full of sin, and I have the right to be here." And so he walks up to Lucifer, sitting on the throne, reigning, of course, by bluff, reigning. And he reaches his hand into his belt and he yanks it off. And on that belt was the keys to death, to hell, and to the grave. Come on now, church. Satan got mad and he stood up. And guess what? Guess what? His clothes dropped off, because the Bible says that he was made of him a show openly naked. Jesus says to Lucifer, "Well, you get a little break here, because I didn't come for you yet. I just came for those, for these who have been waiting." And he turns his back on Lucifer, and just like Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator, he says, "I'll be back. I'll be back. Not your time yet."
I'll be back.
Yes, Ray. That's what he said, Ray. That's exactly what he said. "I'll be back."
Yeah.
Now listen, the body, I'm trying to give you a picture of what happened. The body, and I'm not doing it well. I'm just not doing it well, because it's just so unexplainable, but I'm trying to explain it. So now the body is still on ice, wrapped up in the tomb. Oh, the Bible says in Ephesians, "He who descended also ascended." In other words, he's going to go back to his body. But on the way, he put the key in Abraham's door. He put the key in Moses' door. He put the key in David's door. He put the key in Jacob's door. And he said, "Come on out of here." Why? Why can I come out of here? Because Satan has no more power to keep you dead. Listen, your Bible says, on this very day, over 2,000 years ago, when he arose, the graves were open. You know, that's what the Bible says. The graves were opened. Whose graves were they, church? Those he unlocked. Whose graves were they? I can almost hear him walking down the hallway of darkness, unlocking those that were in chains for thousands of years. He'd come to a grave cell and he'd hear somebody singing, "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord..." He said, "Who is it, David? Come on out of here, David. It's time to go. Let's get out of here." Comes to another cell and he hears a man snoring. And he said, "Oh my God, that must be Daniel. He still thinks he's sleeping on the lion. Come on, Daniel. The door is open. They can't keep you here anymore, Daniel. Jesus locked up, unlocked every single cell of those who died believing because the power that kept them there was broken. The Bible said he led them in his train. People, get ready. There's a train a-coming. In other words, Jesus said, all aboard, all aboard. Oh, wherever you go, Papa, we go. We go. We're following. We're following. You go up, we go up. We're with you, Papa. We're with you, Jesus. Why, church? Why? He broke the power of death. You know what, church? You know who I want to give a hand to this morning? I want us to give a hand to the cloud of witnesses who are watching us right now. Right now. You know, my mother is alive, church. She's alive. She's watching us. Your husband is alive. Your cousin is alive. Celinda, Guido is alive. Danielle is alive. They are watching right now. Let's give them a big hand. If they died in Christ, they are watching us right now. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, preach it, tell it, do it, walk in it, live it, do it, resurrect. Hallelujah. The resurrection. Let me wrap this up. Or let me try to wrap it up. Jesus goes, he deposits all those he unlocked in the Father's bosom. Now Christ says to the Father, hey, I've got to go back and finish the assignment. The angel says, you can't go down there. You ain't got nobody. Christ said to the angel, I've made arrangements. There's a body on ice. Yeah, but the body is dead. And Christ says, but you see, the body ain't got no right to be dead. The sin that killed his body was now taken out. So the body that is left in the tomb, he who knew no sin is left in the tomb. And the power of death, church, is sin. So God raised up Jesus from the death, from the dead, because he qualified for death not to keep him. He qualified for death not to keep him dead, because the only power death has over man is sin. And listen, he had none. So Christ comes and enters back into his body. And the body got up with death watching. With death watching. Death had to look on while a body that it killed got up. Because Jesus now has the keys of death. Death has no more, had no more authority to keep him dead. Church, his resurrection was not for him, it was for us. It was for us. It was for us in order to make sure death has no right to kill you. He took your portion, your sin, and because of that, in Christ, you have no right to stay dead because we died in him. Because we died in him, church, the price was completely paid, and you owe death nothing. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? If you do, shout yes to the Lord this morning. Amen. God bless you, church.